Zakli Gemara on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. So we are beginning Amar Ravina, right? Amar Ravina Hilchasa Harifta Deshagar Ovid Kochavim Va'afa Yisrael. Inami Shagar Yisrael Va'afa Ovid Kochavim. Inami Shagar Ovid Kochavim Va'afa Ovid Kochavim Va'as Yisrael Va'chata Bechatuye Shaper Dami. Right, the Gemara says that with respect to bread, so if there are three processes in the bread, there's putting the bread in the oven, then there's the baking, and then there is stoking the coals. If any of these three processes were done by a Jew, it's going to be mutter. That's what this Gemara says. Now, this Gemara seems to be unconnected to what we said beforehand, correct? Because until now, we've been talking about Bishul Akum. And suddenly, now we're talking about Pas Akum. So, like, you're supposed to say, duh, like, what's going on? So, especially problematic is on the side of my Gemara. I don't know if you have this on the side of your Gemaras. So, my Gemara says, Bishayotel Sof Simin Kuf Memalof Nira Degaras Hilkach. You see, do you have that on the side of your Gemaras? The text of Hilkach instead of Hilchasa? That is wild. Hilkach means that this is actually connected, no? By Hilkach means therefore. In other words, based on what we said before, that if it's Hineach Ovikachem, Hafach Yisrael, etc., that it's going to be mutter, it's only also if it's Chilas Ovikachem, Biyad Ovikachem, so Hilkach by bread. This Lecha'ora is Smuchim Lekach, it's slight evidence that maybe the big kula of Ashkenazi Jewry has Talmudic basis, no? If you have that word hilkach, so we're saying that any involvement of the Jew at all, even chata b'chatuye, even stoking the coals, is going to suffice, correct? It would seem against Sephardic Jewry. Sephardic Jewry, Zoe, I apologize, but Sephardic Jewry says that the only heter is if the Jew actually puts the food in the oven. The Jew actually cooks it. But just turning the fire on doesn't help. Perhaps this Gemara, if you have the Girsa Hilkach, this Gemara might be a raya to the Ashkenazi Minhag. No? Sounds okay? Good, okay, we're getting a shake. That's as much as we can expect. Now, it happens that there's another girsa on this Gemara, which I don't know, which most Rishonim have. If you look on the side of the Gemara, the Rabbeinu Chanano, so they have a slightly different text over here. Instead of we have Ravina saying it, they have Pas, Amar Reb Achi, Shalosh Malachos Yeshba. You see that in the Rabbeinu Chanano? Notice what the Rabbeinu Chanano is saying is that there are three malachos by Pas, like we mentioned, and l'cha'ora, that girsa would be in the opposite direction. That girsa would say that there are three malachos in Pas, and by Pas, chata b'chatuye is sufficient, or by Pas, just lighting a fire is sufficient. That's a special din in Pas, like we saw the Ran explained, because, right, there's like a real avoda involved in lighting the fire by bread, because you have to light the fire and then turn it off, right? Veis nishvas, right? It's like a thing. As opposed to cooking, where the type of fire doesn't matter as much. Correct? So the Hilkach Girsa, I think, on a certain level, is working in the opposite direction of the Rabbeinu Chananos Girsa. Rabbeinu Chananos is making it clear that this is only by Pas. The way we have the Gemara, it's somewhere in between. It just says Hilchasa, which, not sure exactly what to do with it. Is Hilchasa saying only by Pas, or is Hilchasa saying by Pas and Huadin by other things? Not abundantly clear. Correct? Now, Halacha L'maisa, what's the din of Hashlachas Kisim? So, I think we mentioned last time that the Taz Paskins, that we only rely on Hashlachas Kisim, but see Ruf the Ravid on the top of Lamed Ches, but the Ravid's is Mako on Bishul Akum, but Beis Yisrael. The Shach basically says, don't rely on Hashlachas Kisim. No? It's not so Pashut to rely on these Kulas, but, right, Ashkenazi Jews like Minhag. And Ashkenazi Jews know that we've been doing it, and therefore, right, Ashkenazim are known to use the line of im einam neviim b'nei neviim heim. Right? Like, if Klal Yisrael is doing something, it has to have value. Right? Mimetic tradition, to quote Dr. Soloveitchik. No? Okay. Gotcha. Good. Weiter. Next Gemara.
Can you clarify for a second? I always get confused. Which one is the more difficult thing? To say that Shlachoschism works for Pas or for Shlachos?
To say it works for Shlachos. In other words, by Pas, it's clear in this Gemara that it works. By Shlachos, by Bishul, right? And everyone holds how Shlachas Kisim works by Pas. The question is, by Bishul Akum. Years ago, there were Sephardi students in YU. There still are some Sephardi students in YU, but Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is not around YU anymore, because he died in 1941. So, apparently, in the YU calf, they only have Bishul Yisrael for Ashkenazim, no? It's not Bishul Yisrael for Sephardim, or at least it used to not be. I don't know what goes on now. But the students asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik apparently gave some kula that the Sephardi students get in the YU calf. Phew. Right? We're not exactly sure what he was thinking, what was going on, but the minhag in YU has been like Sephardim have never gotten off of the YU meal plan by claiming a religious exemption. No? Zoe, you ever tried this?
No, but it's interesting.
Right, there's a certain, right, there's a cachet to it. Maybe this could work, no?
It would be harder.
What?
It wouldn't be, the benefits really would not weigh out. Then I couldn't eat anything.
Right, in other words, the thing is, most restaurants wouldn't be much better, no? Paprika and, what's it called, and Mendy's, I don't know if they're much better than the YU calf in terms of Bishul Akum for Sephardim.
Well, in other words, like the hashkacha that's like,
so, in a few restaurants in Brooklyn, you'll see signs that says Bishul Bet Yosef. That doesn't mean they're cooking the Beis Yosef. It just means that they are cooking, and it's kosher even for Sephardim.
What if that's not more mainstream?
I don't know.
What does Sephardim do? Like, is that a mishlachas?
So,
it's not OU kosher food
that's like again, some of the OU kosher food is going to be kosher for Sephardim, some is not. You have to figure out, is it Necho Kmo Shuchai, Olal Shulchan Malachim, to what extent to rely on the Maharitat, etc. But it's not so simple. Rav Ben Chaim, who's now the Sephardi Rosh Hashiva in YU, no? So Rav Ben Chaim is also Megal, that they can eat in the YU calf, that Sephardim can eat in
what
the...
And where does he eat? Does he?
He spends one Shabbos a year. He's usually their final Shabbos. Right? So he eats in the calf that Shabbos, as far as I know. I mean, I never eat in the calf. I don't like calf food. But, I mean, whatever. It's okay. When I'm in Stern, I eat in the calf. No? It's not like religion. It's.
Yeah, for Shabbos.
I was here for Shabbos once. Yeah. But I don't know. Like, what does Sephardim do in YU?
Don't marry Sephardim.
Huh?
For some other reasons, too.
There's a decent...
I just want to hear about my problems.
Okay. Again, I'm just pointing things out. Okay, weiter in the Gemara.
True.
Zok the Gemara. Dag moliach. What about a salty fish? What about a salty fish? So Gemara says, a chiskiya says a salty fish is permitted. Reb Yochanan says a salty fish is osur. Beitza tzaluya. Bar Kapara says it's permitted. Reb Yochanan says it's osur. Kios Reb Dimi Omer Echadag Maliyaf Echad Beitza tzaluya. Chizkiya Bar Kapara Sharu. Reb Yochanan osur. So there are two versions in this Gemara as to whether there are separate machlokasim regarding Dag Maliyach and Beitza tzaluya. No? Version 1 in the Gemara has different names. Right? Chizkiya versus Reb Yochanan in one case, and Bar Kapara versus Reb Yochanan in the other case. Version 2 of the Gemara has the same names. Fine. There is also a Machlokas HaRishonim, how we understand Dag Maliach. How does Rashi learn Dag Maliach?
I mean, what the Machlokas is?
What is the Machlokas between Reb Yochanan and Chizkiya about Dag...
If a non-Jew does the
salting process, whether salting.
Nachon, right? In other words, there's a rule in halacha kamaleach hariyuk roseach. There's a rule that salting something is the halacha, is the same halacha of cooking. No? This is in Yerida Yisim in Sadi Aleph. Let's say I have a piece of salty cheese that is touching some meat. So that could affect a transfer of time from basar to chalav, no? Because maliach kiroseach. Now, how much salt is necessary for maliach kiroseach? So there's a machlekes harishayim about this also.
Can you just repeat maliach
to what? Kiroseach. Like boiling.
If you say it kiroseach, the Sephardi will understand.
What?
If you say it as kiroseach, the Sephardi will understand better.
More sensitive, thank you. Fine, whatever. Now, basically, according to Rashi, we see that there can be an institution of Bishul Akum without actual heat, no? There is a discussion in Poskim, in Yerideya, as whether Maliach Kiroseach is that considered a Maisa Bishul, or is it just Blia without Bishul? Right? Is Maliach Kiroseach just a way of flavor transferring, or does it actually cook? The post can point out that there is a lashon of the Rambam in Hilcha Shabbos and Perek Yud Beis, where the Rambam says you're not allowed to salt vegetables on Shabbos because maliach kiroseach. No, that's wild and crazy and nuts, right? We assume that you can't salt, right? If you have a plate of vegetables, so you're not allowed to put salt on all the vegetables, right? We assume because it's somehow dome to being ma'abed. It looks a little bit like the malacha of tanning. That's why we don't salt a whole bunch of vegetables. If you have like a plate of celery, you can't just pour salt on the whole thing. You are allowed to salt one vegetable at a time.
You can't dress a salad.
Huh?
You can't like put salad dressing on a salad.
Salad dressing is okay. The assumption is that that has other flavors, not just salt.
But if you do it individually, like you put the salt.
But if you want to have salt, are there people who eat salt on their vegetables? I don't know.
No, but if you're like, salting your salad. Instead of like mixing the dressing together, you just like pour the salt in, pour the spices in, pour some oil in. You should really just mix it separately and then pour it on.
Again, you shouldn't pour the salt on the vegetables, correct? You should make it separately and then pour it on. Because putting salt on a bunch of vegetables together, we assume, is an iser derabanan of ma'aved. It looks like tannin. The way, I mean, most of you probably don't tan leather, but the way you tan leather is that you come and you have like a lot of stuff on the table and you pour a lot of salt on it and it looks like you're tanning. So that's a standard approach. Judaism was a beautiful religion. Then Maimonides was born. And the Rambam tells us that the reason why there's an isser of salting vegetables on Shabbos is because of Maliach Kiroseach. That means that for the Rambam, Maliach Kiroseach is not just a din of transferring tam, but for the Rambam, Maliach Kiroseach is a din that's considered a Maisa Bishul. No?
Wait, so he thinks you can't salt vegetables at all on Shabbos, or in that?
I can't salt a lot of vegetables. If I have one piece of celery, I can dip it in salt and then eat it. One at a time is permitted, right? Why is that permitted according to the Rambam if it's one at a time? Because the Rambam says if it's one at a time, it's not so much salt, and we're not going to say Maliach Kiroseach. Even for Maliach Kiroseach, you have to have a certain amount of salt. It has to be, there's a Machlekes HaRishonim in the Gemara Pesachim. Does Maliach Kiroseach only apply when you have enough salt for Maliach Ko'urcha? Maliach Ko'urcha means that I put enough salt on food to preserve the food for the winter. We are all spoiled. We have these things called refrigerators. Refrigerators keep food cold, correct? Now, there was a time when they didn't have refrigerators. If you don't have refrigerators, so then how do you keep your food preserved? The answer is you salt it. No, that's how beef jerky was invented. Right? Who's the idiot who thought of beef jerky? Right? I'm sorry, but like I don't like beef jerky. But that's pretty clear, right? But the point is that you could save the meat for a very long time. And if you want to have meat, let's say, through the summer, if you salt it enough, it could last, even without refrigeration. Nachon? That's what beef jerky is. So, some Rishonim assume that to say Maliach Kiroseach, you have to salt it enough to take it on a trip, right, to preserve it. Other Rishonim assume even Maliach L'Kedera is enough, even the amount of salt that you usually just use in a pot, like when you cook. That's enough for Maliach K'Raseach. But there's a third sheet that, based on Rashi and Psachim, the Rashi and Psachim says even Maliach K'Tzli is enough. There was a minig according to Rashi, you know, there are two ways of kashering meat. You can kasher meat by putting salt on the meat, and that gets the blood to drain out of the meat, no? None of you have probably ever kashered meat. When my sister, your mother, was in seminary, they gave her a course in kashering meat. So, like, show them how to do it. You could ask her about it. It's not taught anymore, right? It's a useful skill. Guaranteed, you could ask your grandfather, he'll tell you about kashering meat on the Lower East Side.
Favorite thing to tell us about,
if you
try to avoid the topic.
Right? So, like, kashering meat used to be done. I remember my grandmother Lashon kashering meat in her kitchen. Like, not so often, but like today you can't buy unkoshered meat. The butchers don't sell it. So the way you kasher meat is either you salt the meat and that draws the blood out, or you kasher meat by roasting the meat on an open fire, and when you roast it, the blood comes out also, no? There's a minhag that even when we roast meat on open fire, we salt it a little bit beforehand. We just drop like a few grains of salt on it. That's called maliach chitzli. And some Mishnayim assume that even that is assumed to create the din of maliach kereiseach. Fine. But let's just chazer what we have over here. Rashi's shita in our Gemara is that there's a possibility that malicha will make food treif as bishul akum. No? That's what Reb Yochanan actually says. Reb Yochanan holds that if a guy salts meat, says Reb Yochanan, that makes the meat treif as bishul akum. That means, according to Rashi, and the Rambam in Perek Yud Zayin learns this way also, no? Perek Yud Zayin Machos Asuros. That means, according to Rashi and the Rambam, melicha is a maisa bishul. It's not just a way of transferring flavor. It's an act of cooking. And that would be consistent with what the Rambam has in Hilchos Shabbos and Perek Yud Beis that we mentioned, that we say Maliach Kiroseach by Hilchos Shabbos. If you assume that Malicha is only a way of transferring flavor, so then Lecha Orev has no impact on Bishul Akum, no? And it would have no impact on Shabbos. Fine. So Shitas Rashi is that the Machlokas here, Machlokas Chizki and Reb Yochanan, is whether I assume Maliach Kiroseach by Bishul Akum. Now, according to Rashi, what's the Machlokas about Beitza Tzeluya? About the egg? Bar Kapara says it's mutter, Reb Yochanan says it's usser. Adina? Correct.
So, according to Bar Kapara, who says that it's mutter, it's touching the shell is not actually touching.
In other words, eggshells are not edible. I figured this out when I've tried to make omelets. It doesn't work, right? Eggshells are just, like, not edible. And Bar Kapara says it's mutter because the ochel, the food, is encased in the shell. But Reb Yochanan says it's usser, even so. Now, what difference should it make in Lumdus, conceptually, if the food is encased in the shell? If Bishul Akum, right, why should it matter in the halachas of Bishul Akum if the food is encased in the shell? Rachel?
We thought maybe possibly it has to do with Shemei Achilenu, the word time.
Excellent. Very good. Right? In other words, the Chaora, this is only possible within Rashi world. Right? Rashi world, by the way, would be the most amazing amusement park. Right? But in Rashi world, this is possible because Rashi was at the din of Bishul Akum is because Shemei Achilenu Davar Tameh. And if their food is in a shell, so then there's no concern of Shemei Achilenu Davar Tameh. And you also have to say another Nakuda, no? There's a discussion in Yerideya Kuf Vav Kuf Zayin. Are eggshells permeable, no? You would think, like, why don't you just figure it out? But Rashi is a little bit difficult, because l'cha'ora, I'm cooking an egg in its shell. Maybe the food part of the egg becomes treif anyway. Because let's say I have an egg that's inside chazer. So won't the chazer penetrate into the food part of the egg?
Yes.
Yes, it would, right? Rashi l'cha'ora has to be saying that the eggshell is not permeable. And that's why Bar Kapara says it's mutter. Now, when Reb Yochanan says it's usser, it could be for one of two reasons. It could be because it's usser because Bishul Akum is based on chasnus. Right? In other words, that even though Rashi says Shema Yachilenu, maybe Rashi's Shema Yachilenu is totally in the machlokas, and others agree to the concern of chasnus. Alternatively, it could be that Reb Yochanan is arguing as to whether eggshells are permeable, which is the machlokas in the Rashba in Yeridei Kuf Zayin. Oh, now how do we paskin in this Gemara? So again, we have a machlokas about eggs and a machlokas about dag maliach. And according to Rashi, these two machlokasim are completely unconnected, right? Even in the second Lashon of the Gemara, it's just the same people who are arguing, but these two machlokasim are unconnected. So the Gemara has like a funny story. Let's just read this story for a minute, and then we'll give the other sheet in Rishonim. Reb Chiya Parva'a Ikla Bei Resh, it should be Resh Galvasa, no? That's way you pronounce it, right? If you say Yukum Purkan on Shabbos, right, so you're praying for the Resh Galvasa, who has not been well for the last 1,000 years. It's quite unfortunate. But, okay, we still pray for him every Shabbos in synagogue nonetheless. So Reb Chiya Parva'a went to the Resh Galvasa's house. Amrulei Beitza Tzlu Yamai. So they ask Reb Chiya Parva'a, what's the din of a Beitza Tzluya? So Amar Luhu. So he responded, Chizkir Bar Kapar says it's mutter, Reb Yochanan says it's aser, Ve'ein Dvar Sh'echa B'makam Shnayim. He gives a simple answer, right? Machlokas, one against two. So the Gemara says, Amalahu Reb Zvid. In other words, he's working with the second Lashon in this Gemara, that's one against two. Amalahu Reb Zvid, Lo Tatsitule, don't listen. Hachi Amar Abaye, Hilchasek Havasei D'Reb Yochanan. Right, don't listen, because we pass him like Reb Yochanan. So Ashkiyuhu Naguta Dechala, what's Naguta Dechala? A what? They give him a drink of
vinegar.
It's like a jug of vinegar. Naguta is like a jug or something. They give him a jug of vinegar, Vinach Nafshe, and he died. This is one of the weirdest Gemaras. So you understood Nafshe that he finally relaxed. And we'll see some who explain that. The pashtus in the Gemara is that the word nafnafshi means he died, which is kind of weird, because then what this Gemara is saying is that Rav Zvid says, oh, we pass it like the Yochanan, that your Beit HaTzluya is usher. Sorry, you have to die. Right? That's what's going on here. Very, very weird. Correct? I'm not good at imitating mafia people. What can we do? Now, this leads the Puras Yosef in the back of the Gemara to reinterpret Nach Nafshe in a different way, but his reinterpretation only makes sense after we go through the other Rishonim on this Gemara. Okay, who argues on Rashi in the Perush of this Gemara?
The Ritva.
The Ritva. How does the Ritva learn this? Oh, you just saw me take it up, right? Oh, you saw it. Good. Okay, I gave it away in the story sheet. Fine, be that way. Now, what does the Ritva say? How does the Ritva understand the machlokas of Dag Maliach and Beit Tzluya? That what?
They are connected.
They are?
Connected.
How?
It's like the same Svara.
How?
In the sense that they're both things that are like, can be in
Ayin Akha. Nachon. Right? The Ritva says that both Dag Maliach and Beit HaTzluya are Nechal Al Yedei HaDechak. Right? In other words, that both of these things can be eaten with difficulty. And there's a machlokas about nechal ayadei hadchak and whether that is considered nechal kemoshu chai for bishul akum purposes. That's this gemara. We encountered this already when we learned a machlokas between Rashi on the one hand and the Rabbeinu Chananel slash the Rashba on the other hand regarding daisa, no? And over there, Rashi seems to tell us that nechal al-yadei hadchak doesn't really help, no? Rashi completely rejected it, and Rashi in our Gemara isn't really dealing with nechal al-yadei hadchak at all. Rashi never mentions these terms in our Gemara. Halo davarhu, that Rashi seems to be consistent from Lamed Chasam Alf to Lamed Chasam Beis. That actually is good, no? We expect Rashi to be consistent. But the Ritva, the Ritva is saying that both by Beitza Tzluya and Dag Maliach, it's Nechal Ayidei Hadchak. Now, of course, this forces the Ritva to be bothered by the Kasha, that the Gemara on Amud Aleph says, Dagim Meluchim Ein Bahem Mishum Bisho Akum. Right? That small fish are not subject to Bisho Akum. And that is so ser our Gemara, according to the Ritva. So you could answer that argument is about big fish, not small fish, right? And the difference would be that if you have a small fish, so you add a little bit of salt to it, you could eat it right away. It's like softer. A big fish, it's going to be harder. You add the salt to it, it won't make it nechal kemoshu chai. However, we should note that Tosfos on Omer Aleph, Dibra Hamaskel Dagim Ketanim, Tosis on Omer Aleph understood this entire Gemara like Rashi. Tosis says that the case is who salted the fish. Did a Jew salt it or a guy salt it? No? In other words, according to Tosis, the issue is there a din of Bishul Akum because of salting the fish? That's why Tosis on Omer Aleph, Yerem Aslo Dogim Ketanim, learns the Gemara. But the Ritva is going to say that the question is it considered nechal kamo shulchai? Now, halacha l'maisa, how do I paskin? What should we paskin based on this entire Gemara? We should paskin like Reb Yochanan, no? That it's usser. In other words, nechal ayadei ha-dechak, according to the Ritva, is not considered nechal kamo shulchai. It's still going to be treif. Correct? That's what should emerge halacha l'maisa. Now, comes along the Puras Yosef. And the Puras Yosef says, oh, kevan shehiganu l'kach, so we could say that when Rav Zvid said we paskin like Rav Yochanan, what Rav Zvid is basically saying is, you know what, we paskin like Rav Yochanan, that nechai dehatchak is not considered ro'i la'achila. So they give him a cup of vinegar. And you know what Rav Zvid does with a cup of vinegar? Like, whoa, 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 a cup of vinegar. Is vinegar nechal kamo shulchai? Can you drink raw plain vinegar? It's nechal ayidei hadchak. That's correct. Right? So now, right, what they're doing is they're sending the vinegar to Reb Zvid. Now, the Puras Yosef adds a nekuda. He says that when the Gemara speaks about they sending the vinegar, that presumably means that they have a goy bring the vinegar. Says the Puras Yosef, if the vinegar is considered edible, so when the goy touches the vinegar is going to be treif. If the vinegar is not considered edible, when the goy touches the vinegar is still going to be kosher. The fact that they give the vinegar to Reb Zvid, right, to drink through a goy shows that they're assuming that it's not ne'echal kamosha huchai, that it's not edible. If it's not edible, because this type of achila ayadei hadchak is not good achila ayadei hadchak at all, so therefore, nach nafshei, the way Elishava understood it, he was relaxed. He realized, oh, obviously my psak is correct.
His psak is correct.
What?
Vinegar.
They send him the vinegar al yedei agoy. Presumably, they're telling him, you could drink this stuff. Why could you drink this stuff? You could only drink this stuff because the vinegar remains kosher, because they're sending it al yedei goyim. The only reason vinegar remains kosher is if the vinegar is not edible. Right? Now, we know vinegar is necha yedei hadchak. The question is, necha yedei hadchak considered edible or not? The Peres Yosef is equating what is called edible for Bishul Akum purposes with what's considered edible for Stam Yenam. No? And therefore, he says, noch nafshei, that was relaxed. He realized my psak was correct. That really, it was...
Why does it have to be edible?
It was incorrect.
Wouldn't it have to be
edible? Why is it incorrect? They sent it al yedei agoy, meaning it still is kosher. They send it to him to drink.
Therefore,
he should be wrong, and Rabbi Yochanan should not be the mutter. What's it? Rabbi Yochanan says it's usser. Why is it usser? Because necha yedei hadchak is not edible. If it's not edible when the guy cooks it after, then it becomes usser. Beitza tzluya, a rua egg, is it edible? Rua vinegar, is it edible? It's necha yedei hadchak. If it's necha yedei hadchak, so then if a guy cooks it after, is it going to become usser? Right, that's the question. Rabbi Yochanan says it's usser. Why? Because the fact that it was not edible beforehand means it wasn't edible, and therefore the guy could ask, and
what
therefore,
did the guy do?
What?
I'm very confused.
Therefore, the guy could ask her it.
The guy did he do something to the vinegar?
Guy brings vinegar to Rav Zvid. Guy says, Rav Zvid, here's a cup of vinegar.
So
yum yum.
Okay.
Why
did he ask her after it's not edible?
What?
Why did he ask her after it's not edible? He said it's not edible.
As in, if it's edible, then it's
not edible. If it's not edible, and then you cook it. In other words, right? Remember, the case is the guy cooks a raw egg.
To show that it's not edible?
To show that, right, to show that the halacha considers it not edible. Look at the proof.
Is there a compliance? Or that if a non-Jew touches something that's not edible, then he doesn't answer it?
If it's considered edible, that's what the Peres Yosef is assuming.
Why would
I missed that joke.
Why would they have a goy bring the vinegar?
Because how else are you going to get vinegar to Rav Zvid?
So they're saying here, look, don't drink this.
No, he says, doesn't he drink it?
Well, the simple meaning of the Gemara is that he drinks and then he dies.
Right.
But it's a little bit hard to understand why they'd kill him for paskening like Rabbi Yochanan. So the answer is that noch nafshei doesn't mean he dies, it means he relaxed. He calmed down.
Because
he said, if a guy touches vinegar, does the vinegar become treif? So it depends. If you consider vinegar edible, potable, whatever it is, so then it will become treif. But if you consider it not potable, it won't become treif. We know that vinegar is necha ayyadeh hatchak.
So Bishul Akum and Stam Yenam are opposite.
Correct.
I'm a little confused. Can we make a chart? Yeah, let's make a chart. Okay. Charts. Actually,
I think I brought a... What's it called? I brought a marker for like the first time ever. Okay. Right, Beitza Tzluya. Right, Beitza Tzluya means that a guy cooks the egg. So the egg used to be Nechal al Yedei Hadachak, and now it's cooked by a guy. Right, so Rabbi Yochanan says it's Aser. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say it's aser? Because when it's nechal ayyadeh adchak, that does not mean it's edible. Nechal ayyadeh adchak is not edible.
It's not
therefore,
nechal,
cooked by goy is going to be aser. This is Rabbi Yochanan.
Wait, when we say edible, can we just say nechal
kamoshu
chai?
Right, that's confusing at first.
Okay, fine. So nechal ayyadeh adchak is not nechal kamoshu chai. It's not edible ruah. Right? That's the
X. Therefore, it is subject to Bishul Akum.
And it is subject to Bishul Akum, and Rabbi Yochanan says, usser. They bring Rabbi Yochanan vinegar. The vinegar was touched by a guy. Did I tell you this? Somebody who listens to my shiur in Australia says, Rabbi Schwartz, you always use Slobodan as your name of the guy, and I know two Jews who are named Slobodan. And I'm like... You're spending a lot too much time on this. But, okay, what can you do? So it's touched by slova.
So vinegar touched by a guy would be asr.
Right, so the vinegar is touched by a guy, so they send it to Reb Zvid. That means that they're assuming that the vinegar touched by a guy is mutter. They're giving it to Reb Zvid, saying, Reb Zvid, here is vinegar. Use it. I was touched by a guy. And we know that vinegar is nechal al yedei hadachak, presumably. Right? Vinegar is something. We'll talk about this halachah l'maisa in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. There's a discussion: do you make a shahako when you drink vinegar or not? Do you not make any bracha if the vinegar is so powerful that when you pour it on the ground it begins to bubble? So then you don't make any bracha when you drink it, because then it will like burn your stomach through. No? Is there such a vinegar? Such
that?
Chem majors.
Yeah,
right? Try it in lab. Try to like drink
some vinegar. The guy touching the vinegar would only asser it if it had been edible.
If it's edible, correct.
So
they're sending vinegar, and they're saying that the vinegar is mutter.
Shouldn't it be the other way around?
No.
The guy can only asser it if it's not nehal kmo shuchai.
The guy can only answer it.
It's not
we know it is necha ayadei hatzak. We know that vinegar is edible with difficulty. The guy does not answer the vinegar. That means that we assume that vinegar is not necha. That vinegar is not nechal kamo shulchan.
Stop
Nina
and
Bishop Akron. Yes, that's what we're just.
If it's not nechal kamo shulchan, then it is subject to Bishop Akron.
Why
would
you mean
that?
What does
that mean?
No, basically,
the vinegar is touched by your guy.
Yeah, so you can drink it.
So you can drink the vinegar. They're sending Reb Zvid vinegar.
But we just said that it's not nechal kamo shulchan.
Okay, stop.
No! We are trying to figure out whether nechal ayadei hadachak is considered nechal kamo shulchan or not. That's what we're trying to figure out. The fact that they assume that when the guy touches the vinegar, the vinegar remains permitted, that indicates that nechal ayadei hadachak is not considered edible. If it would be edible, then the vinegar would become trei.
Can I ask a question? Why are the demon of stam yinam and mishlach not edible?
So it's not.
Why would it become trei?
Because it just it makes sense. If a guy touches.
Why are demon of stam in the mix?
Why are they not?
Because remember, if something is edible, ruah, no mishlach. If something is edible and the guy touches it, trei.
So shouldn't be the same
rule. Oh,
vinegar
and baked suya
are both
not
the same
class. But they go in opposite directions. Neha, they had the fact, but
if they're using it
to prove that neha, they had the fact. I'm gonna ask someone else to explain this to everybody.
Adina just explained it.
Okay, Adina, can you try to explain this to the class?
So
because
I think there's two pieces at play. The reason they brought the vinegar was because, according to the laws of Stam Yinam, if something is not Nechal Kmo Shulchai, then it's not subject to the laws of Stam Yinam, which means if a non-Jew touches it, it's mutter. So what they're doing is saying, vinegar, here's vinegar, which is Nechal Yedetcha, but you can drink it even though it was brought to you by a guy, which means that something that's Nechal Yedetcha is not Nechal Kmo Shulchai,
right.
Which means that in the case of Bishal Akum, it would be Usser, because it's subject to the laws of Bishal Akum.
Correct.
So what's that gesture? Like, here, have this, which is mutter,
but because they're using it as a way to pay
is not nechal kmo shulchan.
In other words, he feels relieved, Rev Zvid feels relieved that they are agreeing with him, and the proof that they're agreeing with him is that they are sending vinegar his way.
In the disagreement of Dav Maliach and Beit Tzluya, they're saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds that those are both things that are Nechal Ayadei Tzchak, but they're not nefel kmo shulchai. That nefel ayde tzchak does not mean nefel kmo shulchai.
Meaning there's something.
And therefore, it's subject to bishul akum.
Nefel ayde tzchak
is not nefel kmo shulchai.
They don't have the same.
And therefore,
so I would
subject.
Why bishul akum?
But the other two say that it is nefel kmo shulchai, and therefore not subject to bishul akum. So by them bringing in vinegar, they're saying no, nefel ayde tzchak is not nefel kmo shulchai, and therefore our argument before about. It's not such a saminam, but that does. But we're just making a statement about what we think about nechal adi atchak, and we're saying that nechal adi atchak is not nechal, right? And they're saying here we agree with you, we concede, Rabbi Yochanan.
Correct.
No, but
also
they
say that the halachas of Rabbi Yochanan they were.
So the simple reading of the Gemara is that they are pasket. They are paskening like Reb Zvid, which is paskening like Reb Yochanan, that Necha Ayidei HaTchak is not considered Necha Kamo Shehu Chai. If it's not considered Necha Kamo Shehu Chai, if it's not edible Ruah, so then the Goy will not answer the vinegar, and then you could drink the vinegar so he feels relieved. That's basically what the Gemara says. Now, just to finish up, because we have two more minutes, turn to the Rif on Tesvav Amid Beis. The Rif quotes from the Gaon, Stam Gaon is Rapai Gaon. The Rif quotes from the Gaon, from Rapai, that we can split between Beitza Tzeluya and Dag Maliach. The Gaon says that when we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, that's Aser, that means Beitza is Aser, but Dag is going to be Mutter. Now, why we would split between Beitza and Dag is something that we'll have to talk about next time. Look at the Ritva, the Taz, etc., the Bach. There's a lot of Mefarshim to look at, and we'll have to pick up from here next time. Right? The Pashtus in the Gemara is that both eggs and fish are supposed to be Necha Ayidei HaTchak, which should be Aser. But the Ritva splits between them, and this split may or may not appear in Shulchan Aruch. That's why you have to read the next Se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, ladies, have a good night.